listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to the Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver, and in today's podcast, I'm with James Groves, Managing Director of Indigo Swarm.
Hayes, hi.
Hello.
This is a beautiful location, just opposite the forum.
And you've been here 8 years.
Yep, a long time. So it's our home now.
The nest.
Not to be confused with the Norwich City venue. We call it, obviously, being Indigo Swan. This is the nest, and this is our home.
Peckington House. Indigo Swan is an independent energy consultancy.
Yep.
Obviously, you're based in the heart of Norwich. It says, in your very first line, you place integrity over profit.
We do.
I think that is so important now.
Oh, it's hugely important. I mean, especially in our sector, as energy consultants and well-documented energy prices at this moment in time. It's always the way we've been. You know, integrity over profit is key. You know, we're a business. We want to be profitable. Of course we do. Otherwise, we can't be in. We can't employ the people that we do. We have to put integrity first. You know, we have to make sure that what we're presenting to our clients is fair. We have to make sure that we are providing the very best prices for our clients, the very best service for our clients. You know, being open, honest and transparent. And there's a lot of people in our sector who sadly are not.
Yep.
There are things coming in to help that and to support that and to encourage that. You know, since day one, 12 years ago, having the integrity and being open, honest and transparent has been a key.
And I think with the way you talk about the swans, as you call your team,
I just love
that.
Yeah.
I think that's really apparent how strong and supportive a team you are. And you really need that now.
You do. You're nothing without your people, are you?
No.
You're nothing without your people. You know, for me, I was interested. I was just having a meeting before you got here with our newest swan, a lady called Henny, who's just joined us. And that's what I was saying to her. I said, you know, you are nothing without your people. You know, our first value is happiness first. You know, we all need to do a good job and we need to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to do that unless you've got happy swans around you. So, you know, being happy is the first and foremost, most important thing for me at Indigo Swan. And if people aren't happy, I want to know why they're not happy. And I want to know what I can do to help them be happier. But if we have got a happy team and we have got happiness first, then that will trickle down.
Well, I think that's shown, isn't it, now, since the pandemic, how much, and obviously everybody was working from home and doing kind of different working patterns. Some people are furloughed in businesses. That's when you really notice, is your team happy on a real, honest level?
Yeah.
And it's great that that's carrying on.
It's got to carry on. I mean, that was the hardest time we've ever had, as anybody has ever had, probably in that sort of year and a half that we were working from home. And I would argue that was the hardest thing I had to do as managing director of Indigo Swan, was to keep everybody happy and engaged when you can't be with them, you know, and you had to think outside the box and you had to think, well, what can we do? And how do you make virtual socials work? And how do you make virtual drinks on Friday work? And what can I do every day to be engaged? And, you know, I did some WhatsApp videos. I did a WhatsApp video every day for 475 days. It was a little thing. It was like a minute a day, but only I wasn't going to speak to everybody every day.
Because do you miss doing that?
Do I miss doing it? No, yeah, in a funny way, I do. Like I say, you know, I wasn't, you know, some days I look very rough. I look like I had a breakdown about halfway through. My beard had overgrown and all sorts. It was terrible. But the point being was, that's all part of being an authentic leader anyway, isn't it? It's all part of being who you are as a person. And for me, just sending that 1 minute video every day, just to say morning to everybody. If there was something I needed to communicate that I wanted to communicate with my face as opposed to on a Teams message, then I had the opportunity to do that. And it was just a way of me knowing that everybody saw me and heard from me every day, where naturally working from home, I might not have spoken to everybody. So, you know, it was a very, very challenging period of time that we got through very well.
Mm-hmm.
Engagement as a company stayed very high. And we've embraced some of that stuff coming back to normal. You know, we now work at home Mondays and Fridays. Some people do come in the office Monday and Friday because they prefer it, but the majority of the team work at home Mondays and Fridays. And that works really well. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're all here. Have some flexibility. You know, I like the way that we do it. And, you know, don't get me wrong, if people do need to do stuff on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that is fine. But I do like the way that we do it, that there is the expectation that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're all here. If we have team meetings, if there are meetings going on, we have clients and whatever else it might be, you know, you fit that into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Monday and Friday, you've got some opportunity. We're a bit more quiet to get your head down. Do your admin at the end of the week. Set your week up on a Monday. And people really like it and really enjoy it. And then for 3 or 4 or 5 of them that like to be in, you know, from a business perspective, things like that was a massive positive, and we learned from it because we'd never worked from home. To work from home, realise it can work and embrace the positives of it was a big thing for us.
It's obvious that you've got so much energy because you're doing so many different projects, not only running this business and engaging with pretty much everybody, but you're working with us on BCL and Conext and on the board of Conext. So before we go into the amazingness of the swans, Conext, for those who don't know, is an initiative to engage, empower and encourage under 35s.
That is exactly what it is, eh?
That is.
She knows. It's something I'm very proud to be part of Conext, and very proud to chair the board of Conext as well. Like you say, encouraging, empowering, engaging the under 35 professionals, but under 35 workers. in Norfolk, you don't have to use the professional term, but workers in Norfolk, and yeah, trying to get them out there and out and about. You know, we've all been to networking events and seen the same faces now for like 20 years.
Yeah,
I'm all right. I'd like to see some new faces.
Well, no one actually tells you when you start work. I think I've got a bugbear with the word networking because I think it just puts anxiety to people. It's a wedding chat. It's chatting to someone at the pub, chatting to a parent at the park. That's what it is, isn't it? It's essentially just meeting people.
It's just having chatting and building relationships and getting to know people and stuff like that. And I think for me, if we can get the under 35s in Norfolk out and about a little bit more, regardless of their position, I think that's the other thing that was the problem for me.
Yeah.
And one of the big selling points for me was, you know, if you go out to, we have to use the word networking, it's nothing else, but if you go out networking, you know, you tend to find people that are in certain positions. You know, they might be in your business, they might be in marketing, or they might be a leader. Well, that's fine, but what this is about, what Konex is about, is those people in the call centres, you know, or the receptionist, or, you know, somebody that works in an admin role. You know, whatever level people are at, come along, come and learn.
Mm.
You know, come and find out a little bit more about how you can develop yourself and your career. How can you bring more value to you as a person? How can you bring more value to your business? You know, how can you enhance your career? Regardless of what level you're at, come out, meet some new people, give it a go.
Yeah.
And if you can learn something from it, then that's brilliant. You know, and that's where Konex is great. It's a nice mix of things that we're doing. You know, we started the Mentor Mondays, so if people want some one-to-one time and some one-to-one help, they can. You know, we've got the 5 after 5 drinks, so if you just want to go and have a drink and you've never been out and met people before in a business setting, go out and have some drinks with some, you know, business people from around the county. And then we have things like we've done the, you know, the personal brand session where people could come along and learn about how to enhance their personal brand. Yeah, we did a neurodiversity event where we had speakers who were neurodiverse, and that was excellent, and celebrating the benefit that those people can bring to their businesses. For me, Konex is a good old mixed bag, but in a good way.
It is a mixed bag.
For everyone, as they say.
It is a mixed bag, and I think the neurodiversity event was such an important one to do because a lot of people have things that maybe they're not comfortable with, but it feels like times are changing, as they should.
They are, and you know, for me, one of the big things about Konex, and for me and the rest of the board, is we need to be doing things that other people aren't doing. You know, we need to be having conversations that other people aren't having. You know, neurodiversity being one of those things. You know, you don't see events on neurodiversity. You don't see many neurodiverse people giving talks because it's not comfortable for them. So to have the opportunity to put an event where 4 people who were neurodiverse in different ways had the opportunity to stand up and tell their story and talk about the benefits it had to them as people, but the benefits it had to their business and why it should be celebrated, was a very powerful thing to do.
Yeah, they were very brave and inspiring speakers.
Oh, amazing. But like I say, not something that people see very often. And that for me is another part of Konex. It's celebrating that. It's celebrating things that aren't normally celebrated, talking about things that aren't normally talked about. And hopefully by doing that, attracting, you know, a younger audience or people at the early part of their career to come out, meet people and learn about things that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have the opportunity to do.
And I think that's where, from the Konex launch, that's where that idea came from. Somebody in the audience had said, so it just shows that Konex is actually really is listening to what people want.
You've got to listen, but you know, like I said, I still want people to continue to speak up and to come to us with ideas and what they'd like to see. I think for me, and we've always said, Konex does need to be a business-led initiative. You know, the board are here, we've come up with some great ideas, as have some businesses in Norfolk that we've been able to support. But ultimately, it does need to be about, you know, what do the businesses want for their young people? What do the businesses need help with? What do they not have time to do? Do they need training in a certain area that Konex can help facilitate because as a business they don't have time? You know, especially if you look at some of the sort of SMEs across Norfolk, you know, they're small businesses, they don't have the time or the money or the resource to do training on certain things. Well, let's get Konex to help you with that.
Yeah.
How can we facilitate that? You know, what would you like some training on? What would you like your team to improve at? And can we, through Konex, find people to come out and help you with that? Or can we find somewhere for you to go to help you with that? So for me, yeah, it has to be a business-led initiative. So yeah, I suppose my message through this podcast is, if you are a business in Norfolk and you've got a young workforce that are looking to be developed and looking for opportunity, then do get in touch. Because we want to be able to support and do as many things as we can.
It's just beginning to now gain that massive momentum.
It is, and I think it's one of those things. I think with Konex, we launched it, and that was great. And I think, you know, you get keen, and you want to get out there, and you want to tell everyone what you want to do. And I think that was useful, and I think we've learned a lot through that. And I think now, going into the end of this year and into next year, you know, we're going to have very clear 6-monthly plans. You know, we'll be able to promote what we're doing every 6 months. Everybody understand what does the next 6-month program look like. And while that 6-month program's on, the board and the advisor board can work on the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And through the things like the Mentor Mondays and the roundtable events that we'll be doing and the Five After Fives, there's those consistent events that are going on, but also in between that, there'll be some, you know, specific events, you know, where people can come along and have an opportunity to learn about something or hear from a certain individual or a certain team. So for me, yeah, moving forward, having the opportunity to be able to tell everyone what the next 6 months looks like, what they should expect from CoNext, what they can be excited about seeing. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to the rest of the board. And I'm looking forward to getting that process going.
Yeah, and that's what those businesses need. If they're tight for time and, as you said, resources,
yeah,
to have a six-month plan so they can figure out where to put their mm-hmm. younger staff in, then that's absolutely going
to
work.
And I really hope they want to. Controversial or not, I still wonder if they do. And I still think in Norfolk we have work to be done as far as getting businesses to support the, not necessarily the younger to contingent of the workforce, but the workforce that are not in senior positions. I think for me it's like, it's easy to send out leaders, it's easy to send out your new business people. As I said earlier, that's easy because that's part of their job, arguably. It's harder to get businesses to embrace the junior people.
But those junior people will end up becoming their senior team.
This is the thing. So you
need, if they stay, because they're happy.
100%. And this is, you know, this is it. And there's still a lot of shortcomings in business, from in my opinion, across the country. It's not just a Norfolk thing. It's like, you know, there are a lot of problems with succession planning and developing your younger team and developing the people newer to their roles. Because ultimately, like you say, they are the future of the business. They are the future leaders of the business. And if you're not investing and you're not putting the time in to help them, a time will come where you have problems as far as that succession planning is concerned. So yeah, now is the time.
And that's the key word. It's the investment in your team.
100%.
With CoNext, obviously you are one of our mentors, and I think it's just an incredible Mentor Mondays to have people who are busy, talented, skilled work leaders give up a day of their time, or give up, but donate a day of their time to supporting people is amazing. So you're one of the mentors.
Yeah.
What an amazing idea to be able to spend an hour with someone who's got that experience.
And to be fair, it's an idea that came through the advisory board, and it's a brilliant idea. You know, it's a great idea, and I'm delighted. I think we've had 23 people put their names forward to want to help and be a mentor. We're obviously firming up some dates that people can do, but to have 23 people want to do it, you know, in leadership roles or experts in their field, it's amazing to see. And I think that's the thing, you know, and I think Norfolk is unique in a way that there are so many people willing to help and willing to give back. And you don't get that in every county, and you don't get that in every city, and you don't get people to want to share their secrets and share the things they do in their business.
We love to overshare in Norfolk.
We love oversharing.
That's us.
Oh, it's a massively oversharing county, isn't it? Sometimes not for the best.
But it's a really supportive
county. It is good though,
county.
And it's support. I've always said that. I've said Norfolk is one of those unique places that when you need something, you will look in Norfolk first.
Yeah.
If you go to London, Manchester, Birmingham, wherever else you might go, they will look for just somebody that can offer that service. They don't care if they're in those cities. You know, in Norwich, we do. You know, if somebody needs something, you will see if there's somebody in Norwich or Norfolk first that can do it. If they can't, then you might have to look further afield. But we are very unique. And again, it comes back to this, I'm wanting to help and wanting to give back and wanting to share. You know, for me, I want to share, you know, what has made Indigo Swan successful, what has made the people at Indigo Swan successful. If I can sit down with 5-6 people on that Monday and help them with their goal setting in the way that I help the Swans, if I can help them with their leadership in the way that I help the Swans, then I want to do that. It's not a unique thing to Indigo Swan. It's just something that I like to do. And if I can help more people outside of Indigo Swan, it's one of the reasons I, you know, was happy to be the chair of CoNext. It's one of the reasons I'm happy to do Mentor Monday. I want to help as many people as I possibly can. Some people want to hear from me. Some people probably don't. But that is absolutely fine. But for the ones that do, then yeah, I want to be there to help, and if I can give some leadership advice or some goal setting advice or how they can help people in their relevant team be more engaged. And it is their relevant team. This is not just people that run businesses. It's, if you run a team, come and speak to me. Because I always say a team is just a small part of that business. It's your, you know, if I look at Indigo Swan and I take Rich, who smells of vanilla today, as we found out.
Smells amazing.
He runs our case management team. Now, if I look at Rich, his case management team, for me, is just a small Indigo Swan. He runs that. He needs to run that team as it's his business. His case management team is his business. So it doesn't matter whether you run a business or you run a small team.
And I think that's the important thing for people to realise, that exactly that. You don't have to run your own business to get involved.
No, you don't. You don't. And especially if you take the big corporate companies. I used to work for a big corporate company in Norwich. My team was a small version of that whole company. You know, I looked after those 10 people as if those 10 people were the business. You know, the values of the company instilled into that team, into that small business. You know, the goals of the business instilled into that small business. Doesn't matter whether you run a team of 2 people, 5 people, 10 people, 30 people. There's still stuff that you can learn about, you know, goal setting, leadership, engagement of your team. It doesn't have to be engaged with the whole company. Your job, if you run a team of 10, it's those 10 people.
Yep.
So what can you learn and what can you do with those 10 people? So yeah, anybody out there that does want to help, we want to be here to help. But the fact that we've had so many people come forward, and you know, people like Nigel Kushner, Nelson Spirit, you know, somebody who is very well thought of, well respected, let's be fair, does it as a business. You know, he doesn't have to do it for free. He has a business on mentoring, but still happy to give away his time for free to people that want to use it, as opposed to,
and it just shows how well thought out Co-Next is. So I think that's really important. So along the lines of Co-Next, going back to you, if you could say something to your younger self at the beginning of your career, is there a piece of advice that you would give yourself?
Oh, wow. You know, I got asked this the other day, and I found it quite hard. The thing I would say to my younger self is, when I doubted myself, was actually being nice, being positive, and building relationships with people can take you quite a long way. Because I didn't go to university. I was very average at school, you know, C's, B's. Failed tech horrifically, you know. So I wasn't the most, you know, the brightest, but I was bright enough. But the one thing that I did do through school, through college, and then in my early days in business was I made a massive effort to get to know people. I made a massive effort to build relationships. I learned to be more confident through doing amateur dramatics, helping people and talking to people and guiding people was something I was very passionate about. When I was younger, I thought that was going to get me nowhere. I thought, that's great, I've got a nice personality, I can chat to people, that's great. That's not going to get me to where I need to get to. I wouldn't be managing director of Indigo Swan. I wouldn't be chair of Co-Next. I wouldn't be sitting talking to you if that was not how I was as a person. Has nothing to do with my grades. It has nothing to do with my education. Nothing at all. It just has to do with who I was as a person and being confident about that. But when I was younger, I didn't think it would lead on to what it led on to. So if I could go back, I'd say, well, don't doubt it. Keep doing it. And I did keep doing it, but don't doubt it. Just keep doing it.
I think you can get hung up on, I must go to university, I must get these grades, I must do that. And you know, in all these podcasts, I've spoken to some people who say, I loved it, you must go. And then some people are like, well, I was an apprentice, or I just worked my way up. Every path is your path.
Oh, 100%. If you want to be a teacher and you want to be a doctor, you need to go to university. That's just part of the process. You know, you want to be a lawyer, that's what you have to do. That's absolutely fine. And I'm all for that. And if you want to go, go. But if you don't, and you're not sure, at the same time, getting into work at 19, 20, 18 is fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn a lot. You know,
but won't have massive debt.
And you won't have massive debt, which is 8.
Yeah.
But you can learn a lot. You know, I got into business about 18, 19 years old, and I learned just as much in the first 3-4 years of my career as I would have done doing 3-4 years at university. You know, and it helped learn what I know today in order to be running a business, you know, being a leader, you know, all of that stuff started early from 19, 20. I got my first leadership job at 21. I managed to build my career from there. So yeah, absolutely no harm in just going, you know, let's get into work. Yeah. Let's see what I can learn. Find a business that's going to help you, support you, engage with things like Co-Next, you know, and get out there and learn. 100%.
But it makes you a leader that people want to work with.
It does,
that's the whole point, isn't it?
It does, and everyone's different in the way that they lead, and that it's not to say there's a right or a wrong way of leading necessarily, but I think for me, my success has come from building relationships and just having a good relationship with everybody, that you can be honest with everybody. I think if you don't have a relationship with somebody and you then have to have a difficult conversation or you have to be blunt, that's a very hard conversation to have compared to having that conversation with somebody that you've built a relationship with. And you know, for me, it comes back to Radical Candor. If you haven't read the book, read it. It's very good, by a lady called Kim Scott. And she nails it. For me, it is about, you know, care personally for people, but do challenge them directly. And if you can find a beautiful mix of the two, you're on for a winner. And realistically, it's something that subconsciously I have always tried to do. It's build those relationships so that you can be blunt with people, you can tell people what you think, and you can be honest. And they will take that in the way that is intended, because you have taken the time to have a relationship with them. You're not just a big boss coming to give them a kick in.
Amazing. I think I'll sign up.
There you go, Hayes.
I'm in.
Come spend some time.
I'll have all sessions. Thanks.
Come and spend some time. But no, but it's true. Like, but other people have different skills, skills and different approaches to it, and that's absolutely fine. But again, I'm also a firm believer that we have too many accidental leaders in the world, and I think that's where I'd love businesses to embrace it and go, do you know what? We did probably promote somebody because they were really good at the job they did, and that happens a lot. And I'm a firm believer that that person was a really good salesperson. So you promoted them to the head of sales. But you've probably got somebody who's an average seller who's got much more leadership ability. and much more leadership skills that probably is the person you should have promoted. You need to invest in the person that you have promoted, who was the bestseller, or you need to have a little look at where is your leadership coming from, because the leadership doesn't have to come from the person that's best at the job.
And that can come from emotional intelligence, which is something that you can learn, but actually it's just got to be in there.
It's there or it's not there. Yeah. You can teach it a little bit. You can get people to work hard at it. I would say I'm a fairly emotional, intelligent person. It's benefited me massively in my career. I'm a very observant person. I like to watch. I like to look. You know, I like to listen. You have it or you don't have it. But if you're looking for future leaders in your business, then that is, I would argue, probably these days, the number one skill.
I think it's absolutely number one in life. Having that is a huge benefit.
Is somebody you're going to promote into a leadership role? Well, let's be fair, they have to work with people.
Yeah.
They need people to respect them. They need to, need people to follow them as a leader. They have to have emotional intelligence because otherwise they will fail and they will struggle and the team will get to a point where, I'd argue, I've seen it many times, they just resent them.
Yeah, but it's like you say, when you're just watching and looking at people, it's the things they're not saying where the emotional intelligence kicks in.
Yeah, you've got to understand when someone's having a bad day. Now, somebody won't want to necessarily talk about it all the time. Now, for me, the biggest thing is if I notice that, I'll go, are you okay? Do you want to have a chat? And sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. It depends. What's going on? And, we had somebody here that I spoke to recently, and I asked them if they wanted 5 minutes, and I spoke to them, and it was great, and it was very successful. And it was interesting, Amy, who works here, had explained to said person that when James asks you for 5 minutes, this is what it means.
Yeah, they were thinking,
it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You know, me asking somebody for 5 minutes, realistically, is to check in on them, ask them, are they okay? Is there anything I can do to help them? Would they like to talk about anything? You know, and that 5 minutes might take an hour. But as I've said throughout my whole career, an hour spent talking to somebody about something other than work is a benefit to the other 6.5 hours they work. People don't spend that time, though. Leaders don't spend that time. You know, having an hour to talk about something bothering somebody that has nothing to do with Indigo Swan at all will allow that person to leave, hopefully, and have a great day. And if you don't, they're just going to sit there and have a terrible day. So you have to make...
I don't think anybody, as we walk through, is having a terrible day, even though it's 10 a.m. They're all really happy, and it's obvious to see why.
Happiest first day.
Yay! So 2021 was a crazy busy year for you and the team.
Yeah.
A record-breaking year.
It was. Now, I can give you loads of headlines. So what have I said here? Record-breaking year. New team member. We won 2 national awards. I became chair of CoNext. I won an IOD Director of the Year award. 92% retention clients. That's great. That doesn't tell the full picture. 2021, arguably, whilst probably our most successful year as a business, was our hardest year as a business because we had come out of the pandemic, and it was awful. Trying to get everyone back to a positive space. Trying to get everyone back to like a routine.
Mm.
Trying to get people, to understand we're in the office again. Whilst also balancing the new flexibility that we had, catching up on the workload that had built up over the pandemic because a lot of our clients had been closed.
They're exhausting days.
They're exhausting days and so many challenges that came with it. Hardest year easily in Indigo Swan history, easily. Most successful, from figures through to awards, through to everything else, from the outside looking in, Swans are smashing it. Internally, sometimes it was a very, very different story. There was a lot of challenges. There was a lot of issues people had. There was a lot of personal challenges people had. There was a lot of challenges we had a business getting back to normal. But I take great pride in that we got through that in 2021, whilst also achieving everything that I've just said. And now in 2022, we are back to normal. Everyone's happy. We've got new Swans. Everyone who's been with us a long time is in a better place. We're performing well. We're hopefully going to have another record year. It's lovely, but we went through that pain in 2021. And I think that's sometimes where people perceive certain businesses and look at certain businesses and go, oh, look at them. They're doing amazingly. But they don't really understand the whole picture.
Well, that's where the Swans and the calm, beautiful exterior and then the crazy legs underneath.
There's a lot of work that goes into it. And we talked about it a minute ago with the emotional intelligence and all that sort of stuff. For me and for the rest of the leadership team and for others, there is a massive amount of work that has to go in to making sure all the Swans are happy and cared for and looked after on a daily basis. So that in 2021, with all those challenges going on, we could still achieve everything that we did, which was a record-breaking year. It was recruiting new people. It was winning awards. That was all awesome. But there's a massive amount of work that has to go in the background to make sure that everybody is looked after, that we are embracing our happiness first value. And that work never stops. 2022 has been a much happier year, absolutely, and it will be another record-breaking year, hopefully. But we learned a lot from 2021. We did. And I'm sure a lot of other businesses felt the pain of coming back to whatever the new normal was, or normal, after being at home and working through the pandemic. So there are massive challenges, but an amazing year all the same, and very proud of what, as a team, we were able to achieve with the challenges that we had at the same time.
And I think those challenges make the team stronger.
Big time. We go through 2021, we can get through everything. And I've said that a few times this year, to be fair. And then obviously they decided to throw an energy crisis at us, which was awesome. But we were well prepared for that after, you know, challenges of the of last year. But, you know, for me, I'm very proud of how we're dealing with that. Business point of view, we are probably needed more than we've ever been needed before. You know, we just work with businesses. We don't work domestically. But with businesses, there is no price cap. Businesses have to sign contracts. They are seeing 100, 200, 300% increases. You know, for some businesses, that could be potentially very crippling. There isn't really an option. I mean, for me, it's a case of what we tend to find we're having a lot more conversation about now is, look, let us track the market for you. You know, let us tell you when might be a good time to do something. Don't sign, and it is don't sign today. You know, some businesses be like, oh, sign, make money. That's not, for us, that's not our, that's, again, it comes back to our integrity over profit, is we will track that market for you. We will tell you when a good time to sign. It might even be beneficial to you to not go into a contract. You know, we'll tell you that. You know, we don't make any money if you don't go into a contract, but quite frankly, it's the right thing to do. And we will tell you when the right time to go into a contract is. The other, and we're having a lot of conversations, obviously, around sustainability. I know we'll come on to that in a little bit, but we're having a lot of conversations around that. And I would argue, where can people get funding and invest? It is that side of things more so than just contract. It's like, if you've got some money, or you can get some money that you can invest into solar or battery, then that's where I'd be looking today, because that will bring your usage down, and in turn, it will bring your cost down.
And is that the kind of advice people are coming to you with?
Yeah, some people are. Yeah, some people are coming to us going, you know, I want to have some, I would like to get some solar, you know, or I want battery, or they might even want some EV charging points, depends what they're looking for. For business as a whole, it's more likely to be the solar and the battery side of things, and they might have some money they want to spend. The payback on that now is obviously much better due to where we are. The payback on it now is like 4 years compared to what used to be 8 years. Yeah. So the investment in it now is well worth it. So people are coming to us with that. But then also on the flip side, we're getting smaller businesses come to us saying, you know, they don't know how to survive. They don't know what to do. You know, they don't know what's the best option to take when it comes to their energy contract, which they need. And, you know, we're helping people with that. And we're, for us, it's always about giving our clients as much information as possible for them to make an informed decision.
And I mean, I think it's incredible that they can just leave that stress of tracking to you, the professionals, experts who know what you're doing. I wonder, are they then saying, can you track my household stuff? Or are they using that to track?
They'll ask about households, and we will give advice on that, you know, as much as we possibly can. I think in the domestic side, whilst it's great, don't get me wrong, it's far from ideal, at least there is a price gap. And at least the government are doing something. You know, they're paying us all a little bit for our bills from October onwards. That's great. They're doing a little bit of something, you know. So from a domestic side, unfortunately, I suppose it is what it is. Will they freeze prices for the next 2 years? Will they do X, Y, and Z? They might do. And fingers crossed, that's great. Domestic side of things, I think there will be the relevant help and support. Business-wise, that's up for debate. You know, business-wise, it's a completely different beast. And like I say, you know, there's numerous reasons for it. You know, we have a lack of storage. You know, Russia is Russia. You know, that is predominantly the problem. we can't beat around the bush. That is predominantly the problem. Mm. You know, and we are having to provide some of our energy into other countries. The countries that we get asked from are having to pay for more for it. So we're having to pay. It's just a knock-on effect. And it's a European straight global issue. Yeah. It's not just England. In the UK, it is a global issue. And it will get us into our side haze. It will get better. It will never go back to prices we had before. It won't. It will even out, and it will get better. When it's going to get better, no one knows. Yeah, and I think we tend to find, you know, for businesses listening to the podcast, we're tending to find most clients are signing around about a 2-year contract. You know, the day ahead price, the 12-month price is so expensive that realistically you're not going to benefit hugely from just signing for 12 months. There may be a benefit in actually not signing at all. But again, speak to us, speak to another expert, find out.
And actually, just signing up to your newsletter means that they'll get all of that advice.
They will get all that. You can sign up to Indigo Swan's newsletter, absolutely, or email us. I'll do a plug, hello, at indigoswan.co.uk. If you email us at hello at indigoswan.co.uk, we can help you out. Yeah, have that expert advice. You know, most people are going 2 years. You know, 1 year is far too expensive. 2 years is enough of a gamble where you're going to pay more. But at least you know if in 2 years it's settled, you come out and you can pay a little bit more. 3 years is probably maybe that little bit too long. 3 years is probably, you're going to pay a big price for 3 years. And in 2 years, things might be better. So most people are sort of evening out in that 2 year mark, which is what we're tending to find. Speak, doesn't have to be us. Speak to whoever, but speak to somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't just go, if you're a business, don't just go and sign a contract. There is an element of gambling anyway, but gamble with some advice.
Is
what I would say. You know, and like I said, it depends on you as a client and your business. Gut feel though, for most clients we're seeing at the moment, is somewhere like 2 years is a good place to be, because you avoid that sort of next day wholesale market of the next 12 months, and you manage to save a bit in year two. so it evens out. But then at the end of year two, you've got an opportunity to look again rather than too far into the future.
Yeah. And we were chatting about sustainability, and I want to talk about the business climate leaders, because, again, I don't know with your time travel, how you manage to have 12-day weeks.
Yeah.
You're on our BCL cohort.
Yeah.
And you have Swan Sustainability.
We do.
So it's obviously within your industry.
It is.
Something really important.
But it is important, isn't it? It's like, yes, it's in our industry, and it's something that now we are offering a service for. You know, again, a lot of our competitors don't, because being blunt, a lot of our businesses like ours make money through the amount of energy that clients use. So selling them something that's going to bring their uses down, people would perceive would have a negative effect on your bottom line. But ultimately, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
We should be promoting sustainability. We should be promoting green energy. We should be promoting sustainability through solar and through the other tech that is available. I'm very proud as a business that we are doing that. We have a sustainable committee inside at Indigo Swan. We try as a business to be as sustainable as possible. I won't lie, as a business, we have things to do. We have some way to go. No business is perfect. You know, we put a line in the sand, we go, okay, we do some things really well, we do some things not so well. We need to change that, you know, and we are starting that process through the committee that we have internally to make Indigo Swan as sustainable as we possibly can be. And I'm excited about that, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
And everyone likes to talk about it. It's a hot topic, but it's a necessary topic. And the Swans are, you know, enjoy it, love it, get involved with it. Whatever else it might be that we're doing to help us be more sustainable. And then, through being part of the BCL cohort, very proud of that, and wanting to share, you know, through the BCL what Indigo Swan is doing as a business, but then also, you know, what are our Swans doing as individuals? You know, how can we help other businesses in Norfolk to be more sustainable? What are they thinking about, and how are they looking at it? Not from an Indigo Swan business point of view, but just from a person.
And I think that's why it was great to have you at the Kingsland Expo.
Mm.
To have a big energy company there and to share, you know, to West Norfolk as well. I mean, that was a really good day. Lots of different providers there, lots of different companies, all with that one issue. And you say it's a topic. It's actually just now our way of life, and it's going to have to be.
Yep.
It's our life curriculum, isn't it?
Yeah,
we've got to be sustainable.
Whether you believe we'll get to net zero in 2050 or not is somewhat irrelevant. We have to try.
Yeah.
I have ups and downs. Do I think, if you ask me to say that, we won't, but we'll have a good go. Is probably my view at the moment. But you've got to have a good go. You have to.
Well, you've got to pledge to do it.
Some businesses have no choice.
Yeah.
You know, if they're in certain industries or certain sectors, they have got to, you know, so they haven't got a choice. Other businesses should just be doing it. Because in time, you know, people will look for jobs at sustainable businesses. If you just strip it right back to you as a business and what the general public are going to look for in the business that they use first and foremost, people will start looking for businesses that are more sustainable.
Yep.
They will use the sustainable option over anything else. If you're not sustainable as a business, they ain't going to use you. Secondly, people that are looking for jobs are going to want to work for a business that is sustainable. So if you have got jobs and you're not a sustainable business, you're going to get less candidates. So if you just take those two examples alone from a business standpoint, you've got to be doing it.
And that's where it comes at, where people, businesses will say, well, we can't actually afford to do this. Well, you can't actually afford not to, because your retention will drop.
That thing, right? I have some sympathy. There are things that probably are expensive and they can't. But no, it's not costly to have green energy.
No.
As an example, it's not expensive to recycle properly. It's not expensive to have a cycle scheme or to have something that promotes public transport or lift sharing or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not expensive. Those things are very cost effective. Some of the bigger things, not everyone can afford to stick solar on the roof. I get that. But there are grants.
Yeah.
And there is funding. And there is asset finance. There are numerous options on how people can do. But if you ignore the big projects like that and just look at the smaller things that I just mentioned, every business out there is capable of doing that and don't need bucket load of money to do it.
Yeah.
You just have to. You have to want to do it.
You do.
And I think this is the thing for me, is you need to want to do it before you have to do it.
You're giving a workshop, aren't you, at our B2B exhibition, which is going to be amazing, about how businesses can then do exactly that.
Do exactly that, talk a little bit about the market and what it's doing, hopefully educate some people in understanding why prices are as high as they are. My colleague Amy will be doing that. And talking people through why we are seeing such expensive prices today, because there will be people out there who still don't understand.
Yep.
And understanding is a big part of it, and feeling a bit of peace, giving an overview on where the market is and why it's where it is. Because by understanding that, everything else that we can then talk about and help with makes a lot more lot more sense. And then it will be a case where we can talk about, you know, how people can be more sustainable, you know, what they should be looking at with their contracts, why I say 2 years and not 1 year and not 3 years. We will talk about that. And just give people as much free advice as we possibly can. And Indigo Swan is, you know, initially before you come on board as a full client and start signing contracts and stuff, we are a free service. We don't charge for those conversations. You know, if people want to come to us and have a chat, come and have a chat. You know, we will look at your contracts and we will give you some advice on your contracts. That doesn't cost anything.
Mm.
You know, people can come and speak to us whenever they want. And in the setting of the B2B, I hope we have some people that come along to our session and ask questions, and there'll be plenty of time to ask and get answers, you know, and we will do that and help people as much as we possibly can on the day.
And in the meantime, you release energy reports.
We do, yeah, we have an energy report really that goes out every other week. It's every other week that it goes out. You know, they can contact us at helloenergygoes1.co.uk. We can add you to that list. You can get that report. It shows you very much what's going on in the market. It gives you the information and understanding behind why there are spikes, why the market is where it is. You can log on to our website. There's information on there as well. So, yeah, we'll provide that. And we have to provide that. And we need to provide that. And we like providing that on a regular basis, not just to our clients, but to anybody that wants to look at it.
Yeah. Well, it takes away that preconception that it's all sales-based.
It's
about education.
Oh, it's about educating people, and that's a huge part for me. It's about educating our clients or educating anybody on the energy space. And like I said, giving them as much information as possible so they can make an informed decision. We will never tell a client what to do. Advise if they want our advice. But realistically for us, it's about here's the information. Make an informed decision. And we will support that because it's your business, so it's your prerogative. So that's, yeah, it's about educating, it's about giving information. And it starts from the business point of view. When we employ swans, we always say, you know, we're looking for people that have got a willingness to learn. You know, you can teach a lot of stuff, I always say that. I mean, personality and a willingness to learn are the two things we always look for in a swan.
Yeah.
You know, we want people to have that willingness to learn. And as a business, with energy being probably one of your top three costs, maybe even your top cost now with the way the market is, outside of your people, you can't afford not to be educated, and you can't afford not to know and not to understand.
And that filters through the whole of Indigo Swan. So
yeah.
That's so easy to see. One of the things I said is, what were you most proud of? Obviously, it is your incredible team. Mm. I think that's so important to have.
Yeah, I am proud of all of that. I'm very much proud of our Happiness First culture because it leads into everything else. You know, the Happiness First culture means that I hope that I am approachable as the leader of the business. The other leaders of the business are approachable. People feel they can come to work and be themselves. Like, we will help them be the best version of themselves. You know, they will enjoy working here. They will want to learn. We want to celebrate that. I mean, I'm doing a video series now with people that used to work here. People don't talk about the people that used to work anywhere. But for me, I need to celebrate that. You know, we played our small part in helping people move on to something else. We're a small business. You can't promote everybody. You can't give everybody every opportunity. But at the same time, if Indigo Swan and myself played a little part in somebody moving on to something that was bigger and better for them, I love that. You know, whether it be Alex working at mine now, that's great. You know, if I helped him and I taught him something when he was worked here so he could be as successful as he is now at mine, then I'd love that. You know, Caroline, who works at Flagship, Tina, who works at Cornwall, you know, these people all worked here and they all played a massive part for Indigo Swan over the years. And if we played a little part in helping them grow their career and move on to great things, I love that. I never want anyone to leave because they're not happy, though. They're two very different things.
I love that you've got Swan alumni. So what could we call? Oh, it needs a good name.
I have to think of a good swan pun.
Yeah, you need a good swan pun.
But it's great. You know, I still see these people, still talk to people. You know, you should celebrate the people that are left if they've gone on to do better things. You can't. We're small SME businesses. Can't be promoting people left, right, and centre. You just can't do it.
But it's an interesting mindset that is probably quite radical to a lot of people.
Yeah,
oh, they've left. They've gone. Norfolk is so small.
Yeah, I'm grateful to every single person that has ever worked it. We are fortunate. We do have a fairly good staff retention. You know, we've got people that have been here 12 years, 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, etc. That's great, and I love that. But some people will move on because they want something different. You know, they'll move on because they want to enhance their career. That should be celebrated.
Yeah,
I
agree,
commiserated.
Absolutely.
That should be celebrated. Because, you know, unless you can afford those people the right opportunities in your business, then you should just let them go. Otherwise, what is the Happiness First about? You know, what is the embracing them being the best version of themselves about? That's all just writing if you don't encourage it.
It is, and I think maybe with the greeting card industry, they need to stop saying, sorry, you're leaving. It's hooray.
Yeah.
You were going off to do something 100%. Amazing.
We'll all have people that leave that we're not too bothered about. I'm not going to lie. You'd be so,
let's keep
be
some
so,
of those.
I'd be sitting here lying if I said that. That's life. But, you know, for those that have left and gone on to bigger and better things, then I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I love that they've grown their careers. I love that they've moved into more senior positions, had more responsibility, you know, financially more stable, whatever else it might be.
Yeah.
I love that.
But Gone Now has that mantra where you pick a job and you stay in it. That's our grandparents' age. That's not now. You do change jobs and you pick up those skills. It's a ladder where every rung is a skill that you take.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And, you know, for me, I suppose, what do I aim and what do I want Indigo's One to look like in the future? I want it to be a bigger, better company where we don't have to worry about people leaving to do bigger and better things because we can afford and we have the opportunity for people to do it here. That's a journey, though, as any SME business. You know, we've done 12 years. I'd like to hope in the next 12 years we're at a place where that's the case. But it's a journey as a business. You know, if I have an aim, it is that. It is to make sure that our very, very best people never need to leave because they have the opportunity to do exactly what they want to do here. And we're getting to that place, and that's a good place to be. But yeah, that's definitely the aim. But until that point, people move on.
I think that's a really exciting journey for you to be on. I think that's a perfect place to end a podcast.
Absolutely, Hayes.
Thank you so much, James. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
To be here.
Thanks very much. No, I loved it. Love chatting to you.
Great. And I know you're busy today with the Konex board.
Yeah, I've got a Konex board today.
End.
I love it. It doesn't end, but I love it. You know, I like being busy and I love what I do. And if you don't love what you do, that's when it becomes a bit of a drag. But if you do love what you do, then every day is an exciting day, isn't it?
It certainly is. Thank you so much.
No worries, Hayes. Cheers.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.